on as well. All right, let's go on to the situation at hand and the story at hand that fortunately is getting some local coverage, has in the last week, and needs to get more, and that's why we're doing this morning. We have with us from Radio Canada International and the gentleman who's going to tell us all about the RCI Action Committee today, Wojtek Viaz. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Sheldon and Bill. Thanks for inviting me here.
It's a pleasure.
It's unfortunate that your voice is only heard here at times like this, though.
Thank you. Thank you. You should also say that I'm the main spokesperson for the RCI Action Committee, because that's the role that I'm playing here.
That's right.
And I guess, the latest, let's work backwards. On Friday, we released another news release announcing that we are still very upset about all the cuts that are going on at RCI. Among them, all the newscasts this weekend have disappeared. All RCI newscasts in all seven languages have disappeared. In fact, there's nobody at RCI right now. We have five language services, English and French programming, and management has decided to cut all of that live programming. There is one technician, a solitary, lonely technician sitting in the master control at RCI, watching machines rebroadcast programs. And our newscasts are not being replaced by CBC, Radio-Canada newscasts. Any newscasts are in the body of other programs, so that, in effect, if you listen now to any of the RCI programs that you've been listening to, you have a pre-recorded program that was done earlier in the week. And that is how it's going to be. Some of the other things that have happened in the past, on Friday, for instance, I hosted a morning show to Africa, the Middle East, and Europe. That has been canceled. The evening program to India has been canceled. And you're saying, what's going on? Did they get a budget cut at RCI? No, we did not get a budget cut. In fact, at the end of March, CBC, which is our administrator, signed an agreement with Heritage to continue the permanent funding that we have. And we have in this year, in this fiscal year, until March 2002, the possibility to not make one single cut.
Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it?
You would think so. I'm not a big manager or a big financial kind of expert, but it seems to me when your family budget has enough money to buy the food and pay the rent, you do. And you don't cut back.
And from what we're hearing, possibly even a surplus.
Yeah, although, you know, the minute you start getting into figures, you know how people can play around with figures. What we are trying to understand and what we're trying to get across is RCI and CBC have the money to be able to continue the service without cutting it. And the question, obviously, is why are they cutting it?
Yeah. I guess one thing we should make clear, in case somebody's listening to this who doesn't really understand all of this and is sort of saying, well, so what? You know, you just said you're administered by CBC, and if they read the articles a few weeks back that said $60 million extra was handed over to CBC from the Heritage Department, et cetera, et cetera. Why all this now, and why does this affect RCI? Well, this is part of the problem, is that the two keep getting sort of intermingled here, I think.
Yeah, the way it functions by law, RCI has not got the status to sign for the money that is specifically set aside for it from the Heritage Ministry. So even though within the Heritage Ministry and the Minister of Sheila Copps wants us to be in a financial stable situation and to continue our programming and has said that as recently as the beginning of May, the signature for that money is done by the CBC, which is supposed to administer and not change our mandate or change the way that we do. But that's the situation that we find ourselves in, is that they are, in fact, along with RCI management, allowing moves or making moves that are going to seriously affect our audiences. If you stop having RCI newscasts on the weekend, you're sure to be losing people. These are the first steps. As of autumn, our one-hour programs in English and French during the week will become half-hour programs of news and current affairs, followed by a repeat of a weekend program. And some of these weekend programs that are being planned have a deadly bureaucratic air about them. The initial title, but theme of one of the programs is Industry, Trade, and Technology. And the provisional title for it now is Canada Deals. So you can understand that as hosts and producers and programmers at RCI, we're very concerned about the impact immediately on our audiences, and we're very concerned about the direction this is going in. This is not just a budget, a cutback of services, it's also a huge wholesale reorganization inside RCI, and it's going very far.
There's a word that's floating around in all the stuff I've been reading about this called redeployment in the operation. Do you know what that means? Put it this way, I've been trying to get a lot of answers out of RCI about a lot of important issues, and nobody's talking. You get passed around, you get these, you know, prepared answers that have been issued in previous statements and whatever, that sort of towing the corporate line is going on. What in the world is redeployment? Any idea?
I don't know what it means. I don't know what it's trying to do. I know the effects. The effects are we're losing a lot of our live programming. We're backing away from a lot of the live programming that we have. We're backing away from RCI's mandate of telling the world about Canada on a daily basis. We're going towards a very kind of block system where increasingly a lot of our programming is going to be pre-recorded.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going away from being structured. This week they started talking on an individual basis with announcer producers about their role in this new system, because they're going to create not less but more bureaucracy. They are now attempting to create producers that will have a partly managerial role also. And so within the context of supposed budget cuts, it's hard to understand how they want to create yet another layer of kind of a producer but part manager, and those people get paid more money. So you have to ask yourself, is this really about cutting budgets? And again, it's almost surreal. It's been very hard even inside RCI, among our staff, to get the idea across that we have the money not to cut. And Sheldon, the reason that it's so crucial, particularly in this year, is the CBC, RCI, and the Heritage Ministry were to discuss the future role of RCI this year. And you've got to wonder what kind of brain is working behind CBC and RCI management when you're cutting services at the very moment when you're trying to convince the ministry that we should increase our funding, that we're doing a good job. It seems to me anyone realizes that the first thing the Heritage Minister and other bureaucrats within the ministry are going to do is say, okay, what do you do right now?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean you don't do news on the weekend? Well, how relevant are you?
Yeah, I think this is having an impact on, first, the audience. The audience is losing information, reasons that they were tuning to RCI in the first place. Secondly, I see this as potentially damaging the image of RCI abroad as well. The Heritage Department has always been very careful to state that they don't run RCI. They fund RCI.
Yes, in fact, they're not allowed. Within journalistic circles, the Heritage Ministry funds the National Film Board, the CBC itself. And it's understandable, as journalists, we don't want a minister telling us what to do. On the other hand, if at the end of March, CBC signs an accord with the minister saying, you will provide these services for another year and this is your budget, and CBC announces nothing else except that, yes, we will, and then turns around weeks later and starts dismantling the service, I think the minister's got a very good right to walk in and say, excuse me, I thought we had an agreement here.
Now, this week, as we started, you talked about press releases that went out, and there are letters that have been made public now to the Heritage Department and to RCI/CBC management. What's the context of those, and what are the important issues to bring up and have them address right now
to both, these letters we sent off at the beginning of May, because despite the fact that publicly RTI management has not given this information, it only came out, what, about a week and a half ago, publicly. We've been aware of the situation since April, and at the beginning of May we sent our first press release, and we have had reaction from around the world based on what the information we were giving out and on in emails and on our website. What we did at that point also was send a letter to Sheila Copps as the minister and CBC President Robert Rabinovich, and in both of those letters we said we asked for a moratorium just to stop the cuts, so that, since they were coming at the beginning of June, starting this weekend, stop the cuts so that there could be an open, transparent discussion, because there hasn't been a lot of transparency in this. The latest thing that we came out with is a press release on Friday, which continued to call for the stopping of the cuts, as unlikely as that was going to be. But also, we are now calling on the CBC to respect the accord they signed. We're not asking for the moon. We're not asking for extra funding. All we're saying is respect the accord that you signed at the end of March. And the third thing that we're doing is we're in the process of preparing a brief to the House of Commons Standing Committee on Canadian Heritage to clarify RTI's position vis-a-vis the CBC, vis-a-vis the government, and vis-a-vis the Broadcast Act, the Federal Broadcast Act, that basically just says at this moment that CBC is obliged to provide an international service. But if you look into the corporate policy of the CBC, RTI's mandate is very clearly stated that we are the vehicle for explaining to the world what's going on in Canada. It is not CBC's job. And that's where we sometimes get into a strange situation between our administrator and also our sometimes competitor. Because when CBC came out with their internet site, they announced that now Canadians could find out what's going on in Canada through the CBC internet site. Well, we were already on the internet giving that, and more importantly, we were already on shortwave for half a century, making sure that anywhere you were in the world, you could find out on a daily basis what was going on in Canada. And now, we can't say that.
Closed on weekends.
That's right, Monday to Friday.
Well, Bill, you're sort of on the inside here, too, working at RCI and seeing, you know, the reaction to this. Are we seeing reaction, for one thing?
Yes, there certainly has been some, particularly since last Sunday when the executive director, Bob O'Reilly, appeared on both the English and French mailbag shows to discuss this. And there certainly has been emails rolling in.
Well, that's good. At least that's good to hear, yeah.
Yeah, and also on our website, we're getting, and I'll give you the address of the website, so prepare your pens and paper and that.
Right.
We are getting already comments from people right across the world. It's amazing how this is spreading. And it's spreading thanks to people like you, Bill, and Sheldon, because Sheldon has been doing a lot of emailing around the world and making sure. So we are getting coverage by Glenn Hauser and a lot of other people in the shortwave community. And also, that's, you know, as much as we can, we're using the internet. And we were limited. This is a different situation than last time. In the 90s when we were fighting for this, we were very limited on what we could do on air. There were clear indications that this was not something that was going to be welcome for us to do anything on Radio Canada, the International Airways. And so we've been limited on that basis, and that's, you know, this is obviously one of the reasons we welcome this opportunity to be able to talk to you here, is it's a very different kind of battle, and I can't, you know, the key now is to find a way of forcing all of this to be out and transparent. And one of the problems that we're having in terms of dealing with this is that we're not shutting down RCI. So it's very hard to get journalists interested in the story. As one journalist told me, well, this is a kind of processy thing. There's something happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, yeah, the news has gotten cut off on the weekend. Programs are being canceled. Yeah, but, you know, are you doing anything? Yeah.
And rather unceremoniously, too, to the listeners out there. We were talking about that earlier, about people turning on the radios possibly and just not finding RCI there when they used to.
Yeah, it's hard enough when we switch frequencies, and so when I'm the host of a program every single day, three times in the program for about 2 weeks, the poor listener who's listening every day is hearing about the frequency changes. I did a little bit on air, but I felt I would not be able to say much more than I was felt that I could say on the air. And so there are going to be listeners next week, well, in a few hours, that are going to discover their morning shows disappear, that their evening shows disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really tragic, because since 1991, we have lost an amazing amount of listeners. We have lost millions of listeners because of short-sighted cutbacks. We're talking about peanuts. I mean, $500 million was given out a few weeks ago by the Ministry of Canadian Heritage, and we cost $15.5 million. Now, for you, I, and Bill, that's a lot of money. But in comparison to the kinds of money that is being spent on any government service, can you think of any government service that on a daily basis it keeps the world informed of what's going on in Canada? There's nobody who can get it and do that.
Just ask other international broadcasters, you know, the amounts of their budgets and what they're able to do with it. And RCI has been a sort of a model of how to get things done with little in the way of resources.
You know, and I thought, you know, I have to admit, in 96, 97, when we went through this the last time, I thought, okay, now, and especially in 98, when the minister, Sheila Coss, along with the Foreign Affairs Minister Lloyd Axworthy, they came out with a stable funding package. Basically, that means we got $15.5 million forever. Okay, So I thought, okay, I can go into retirement. I don't have to keep on doing this. I can relax and worry about what I wanted to do is radio programs and be able to communicate with our listeners.
Well, that's what it should all be about.
Yeah, and suddenly we've got this situation, and the excuse being used is budgets, but I have to say that there is a fear among certain people, because we now have, as of Friday, a new boss who is the vice president within the CBC structure, who's in charge of French radio and new media, who met us after we sent him an email saying, we're very concerned about what you people are planning to do. He met us, and the word that kept on coming back when he was talking about the relationship between RCI and CBC was integration. And integration sounds very much like assimilation. And assimilation sounds like RCI is going to just kind of suddenly disappear within the body of CBC as a kind of, label that you find on a microphone, but not a reality. And that is scary. That's not what they're saying now. That's certainly not what they're saying. But if you look at the kind of reorganization that they're doing within RCI, there are very huge similarities between what they're doing at RCI and what they're doing within the domestic service. And don't forget, the domestic service is getting hit hard with budget cuts too. Even with the money they've gotten, they're cutting back, they're repeating programs like crazy. They're forcing people to do a whole bunch of more work than I have.
Okay, we want to, unfortunately, our half hour, as usual, flies by, but we do want to get the important resources that are out there to people, because it's hard to figure out what we should be doing. So we've tried to get all that stuff together in a few key places. So just before we wrap up here, if you can quickly tell us where to track down all this info.
The best place to get all the information is the RCI Action Committee website, which is at www.geocities, like G-E-O-Cities, that's one word, .com/RCI Action, that's one word. So that's geocities.com/RCI Action. And you've got all the information. We keep on updating it. We're going to keep on putting more information. It has been the sole source of information. And at this point, apart from some scheduling information on RCI's site, there is no official word on the RCI site. So this is the best place. What we're having is a lot of people now are emailing not only us, but they're emailing Sheila Coss, the Prime Minister, and that, and they're also saying, what are you doing? And if you can add, just, I think the simple message is, make CBC respect the accord they signed at the end of March.
Exactly. If you want to contact the RCI Action Committee with any comments as well, it's rciaction@yahoo.ca. That's rciaction@yahoo.ca. And if you can copy them on any correspondence that you have as well with the Heritage Department or CBC or RCI Management or anybody, keep them up to date as to what's going on, and we'll try to keep you up to date as well. Unfortunately,
the time is done. But you can get in touch with us, too.
That's right.
We'll be around for a little while after the show, 514-398-6787. As soon as you hear the voicemail, click in, punch 1. Then when you get a prompt for an extension, do 2601 pound sign, and that'll take you to the record library where we hang out. Email radioreport@yahoo.com, radioreport1word@yahoo.com.
All right, and very quickly, we didn't get into the BBC situation, but a brand new website, very similar to the RCI Action Committee, actually, has been set up. It is www.savebbc.org. That's www.savebbc.org. You can also get to it at .com, but he prefers to use the .org. And you'll see a very similar structure there, and sort of telling you exactly what's going on, what the reaction is, what to do, who to contact, that sort of thing. So thanks to Ralph Brandy down in the U.S. for getting that up and running, and we will get you some more information on that probably next week. So that's it for us today. Thanks to Len, who's patiently waiting and giving us a few extra minutes here today.
We hope that your experience with the Real Audio is not the norm, because he's prepared a special tribute to Real Audio.
Exactly. Let's hope it's working.
To both of you, thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in, Wojtek.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to us, and tune us in again next week on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, Radio McGill.
Bye-bye.